Thank you for joining us for our third quarter 2023 results call. As usual, our Chief Executive Officer, Christian Sewing, will speak first, followed by our Chief Financial Officer, James von Moltke. The presentation, as always, is available to download in the Investor Relations section of our website at db.com. Before we get started, let me remind you that the presentation contains forward-looking statements which may not develop as we currently expect. We therefore ask you to take notice of the precautionary warning at the end of our material. With that, let me hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Silke, and a warm welcome also from my side. It's a pleasure to be discussing our third quarter and nine months results with you today. These results show our continued progress on the path to our targets in several respects. First and foremost, we continue to demonstrate strong earnings momentum. We generated profit before tax of 5 billion euros in the first nine months, after absorbing nearly 950 million euros in non-operating costs, including restructuring related to operational efficiencies. Our post-tax ROTE was 7% and would have been nearly 9%, excluding these non-operating costs and with bank levies apportioned equally across the year. This reflects progress on our path to meet our 2025 target of above 10%. Second, we are seeing progress across all three dimensions of accelerating execution of our Global House Bank strategy, namely revenue growth, operational efficiency, and capital efficiency. Strong operating performance is driven by business momentum through a well-balanced business model. Revenues in the first nine months were 22.2 billion euros, up 6% year-on-year, well above our target growth rate. The Private Bank and Asset Management together attracted net inflows of 39 billion euros, alongside 18 billion euros of deposit growth at the group level in the third quarter. We also continue to make progress on the second dimension of our Global House Bank strategy, operational efficiency. We have progressed with existing measures, and we have additional measures in flight. In terms of capital, we are delivering on our distribution commitments. We are on track to complete the 450 million euro share repurchase announced in July, thereby delivering total distributions across 2022 and 2023 of 1.75 billion euros. We finished the third quarter with strong capital. Our CET1 ratio was 13.9%. In addition, we have identified further capital opportunities, and we now see scope to free up additional capital of 3 billion euros, enabling us to accelerate our strategy and boost returns above our original expectations from now through 2025 and beyond. This gives us added potential to increase capital distributions to shareholders, while also deploying capital to support clients. Before we move on to progress in our businesses, let me give you an update on the Postbank IT migration. This was one of the largest IT migration projects in European banking, and it's essential to lay the foundations for a more digital bank offering at Postbank. We successfully migrated 50 billion records of 12 million Postbank customers. However, we saw unexpected levels of client inquiries, which led to backlogs. We have put measures in place to work through these backlogs. This not only includes an increase of temporary staff, but also accelerating measures already underway, such as implementation of automation and process optimization tools. I'm pleased that we have reduced the operational backlog by about two-thirds over the past weeks, and we expect 70% of all impacted Postbank customer processes to run against service level commitments again by end of October, including processes which have been particularly critical for our clients. We are confident that the remainder will be completed in the fourth quarter. Let me now turn to the key highlights of our resilient performance over the 9 months on slide two. We delivered operating leverage of 4% on an adjusted basis in the first 9 months, with revenues up 6% and adjusted costs up 2%. As a result, our pre-provision profit for the first 9 months was up 5% year on year to 6 billion euro. In addition, we continue to reap the benefits of disciplined risk management and a high-quality loan book. Provision for credit losses for the first 9 months remained in line with our full-year guidance at 28 basis points of average loans. Our balance sheet proved its resilience. Deposits rebounded by 18 billion euros to 611 billion euros in the third quarter. We saw franchise momentum across the board. And furthermore, we strengthened our capital position. Our CET1 ratio rose to 13.9% during the quarter, thanks primarily to strong organic capital generation from earnings and the results of our capital optimization efforts. This more than offset negative regulatory impacts, mostly model changes and deductions for dividends and share buybacks. Let me now discuss the growth and balance across our business on slide three. The Corporate Bank delivered a post-tax ROTE of 17% in the past 9 months. Strong revenue growth combined with flat adjusted costs driven by tight expense discipline produced operating leverage of 24%. Our momentum with key clients is encouraging. We saw an increase of around 40% in incremental deals won with multinational corporate clients, which will drive future revenues. Our client focus, strong core capabilities, and standing as an innovative thought leader in the market have been evidenced by the Bankers Transaction Banking Awards 2023, where Deutsche Bank has been voted Best Bank for Cash Management as well as Transaction Bank of the Year for Western Europe for the second consecutive year. In the Investment Bank, we have a well-diversified business portfolio, supported by our leading financing business, which contributed 2.2 billion euros, or approximately 35% of FIC revenues year to date. We have invested into our origination and advisory business, taking advantage of market opportunities which are expected to drive future revenues, including through the acquisition of Numis, which we recently completed. We are also seeing clear signs of recovery in the market, led by debt origination. Turning to the Private Bank, the business grew revenues, attracted inflows of 22 billion euros, supported by new money campaigns, and made further progress in streamlining our distribution channels. And finally, we also grew volumes in asset management. Assets under management grew by 38 billion euros, including 17 billion euros of net inflows in the first 9 months of 2023, driven by strong inflows into passive, including Xtrackers. The business launched 18 new products in the third quarter alone, including our first thematic ETFs in the US market. To sum up, we delivered revenues of 28.5 billion euros in the last 12 months to September 30th, up over 6% versus the equivalent prior period. We also see forward momentum from net inflows, investments, and business wins with key clients. Our businesses are strongly complementary and well-balanced. All of this supports our conviction that we will continue to grow our franchise and exceed our revenue growth targets. Now let me turn to the progress we are making to accelerate the execution of our Global Hausbank strategy on slide four. First, on revenues, with compound annual revenue growth of 6.9% over 2021, we are well on track to outperform on our revenue growth target of 3.5%-4.5%. And we will continue to benefit from the higher rate environment, which drives sustainable performance in the private bank and corporate bank. We also made progress with our own initiatives that are expected to drive fee income. We are confident that the new addition to the family, Deutsche Numis, will enable us to take added advantage of an expected pickup in corporate finance activity. With 39 billion euros of net asset inflows in the 9 months, we expect the growth of our assets under management to drive fee income in future quarters. Second, on operational efficiencies, our existing savings measures are largely proceeding in line with or ahead of our plan. This includes streamlining of front-to-back processes and headcount management. We are also optimizing our distribution network, and we have reduced branches by more than 90 over the first 9 months of 2023. And this enabled us to keep our adjusted costs essentially flat compared to the prior year quarter, despite absorbing inflationary pressures and investments in growth and controls. And we continue to work on further measures. And third, turning to capital efficiencies, as I mentioned earlier, we have made considerable progress on several fronts. We have already delivered, after 2 quarters, around 10 billion euros of the 15 to 20 billion euros RWA reduction we planned by the end of 2025. Other measures are already ongoing, mainly focused on hedging and reductions in sub-hurdle lending. And given progress to date, we have identified additional opportunities to reduce RWAs further, and this enables us to raise our target by 10 billion to 20 to 30 billion euros. Let's now discuss what this means for us on slide 5. As just mentioned, we will deliver a further RWA reduction of around 10 billion euros from our capital optimization measures. And on top of this, we now anticipate a lower impact from Basel III by 10 to 15 billion euros, which James will discuss in a moment. Taken together, these two factors give us potential to free up additional capital of around 3 billion euros through 2025. We believe that our enhanced capital outlook will support accelerated and expanded distributions to shareholders while increasing our ability to invest in our platforms to boost growth and profitability. We will deliver this by sharpening our business model around capital-light and at-scale businesses, while applying rigorous hurdle rates to our portfolios to drive returns. As we look to 2025 and beyond, we see a clear opportunity to shift gears through a self-reinforcing process of franchise growth, operating leverage, and increased returns, and to create more lasting value for our shareholders as our global house bank grows. With that, let me hand over to James.
Thank you, Christian. Let me start with a few key performance indicators on slide 8 and place them in the context of our 2025 targets. Christian outlined the business momentum and our well-balanced revenue mix, which resulted in revenue growth of nearly 7% on a compound basis for the last 12 months relative to 2021. This performance puts us well on track to deliver revenue growth above our 2025 target. Our strong revenue growth combined with cost management led to a 2 percentage point improvement in the cost-income ratio to 73%, and our return on tangible equity was 7% in the first 9 months of 2023. These ratios would have improved by almost 5% and 1.8 percentage points if adjusted for higher non-operating costs and if bank levies were apportioned equally across the year. Our capital position remains strong with CET1 ratio at 13.9% this quarter after absorbing regulatory headwinds and the impact of the share repurchase. Our liquidity metrics also remain strong. LCR was 132% in line with our target of around 130%, and the net stable funding ratio was 121%. In short, our performance in the period reaffirms our resilience and our confidence in reaching or exceeding our 2025 targets. With that, let me turn to the third quarter highlights on slide 8. Group revenues were 7.1 billion euros, up 3% on the third quarter of 2022, or 6% excluding specific items. Non-interest expenses were 5.2 billion euros, up 4% year-on-year, mainly driven by higher non-operating expenses. Non-operating expenses this quarter included litigation charges of 105 million euros and 94 million euros of restructuring and severance provisions. Adjusted costs increased 2% year-on-year, which I will discuss in more detail shortly. Provision for credit losses was 245 million euros, or 20 basis points of average loans. We generated a profit before tax of 1.7 billion euros, up 7% year-on-year. Net profit of 1.2 billion euros was down 3% year-on-year, reflecting an effective tax rate of 30%, compared to 23% in the prior year quarter. Our cost-income ratio was 72.4%, and our post-tax return on average tangible shareholders' equity was 7.3% in the quarter. Diluted earnings per share was 56 cents in the third quarter, and tangible book value per share was 27 euros and 74 cents, up 5% year-on-year. Let me now turn to some of the drivers of these results, starting with interest revenues on slide 9. Average interest earning assets increased by 6 billion euros quarter on quarter, driven by the increase in our deposit levels, led by the corporate bank. Net interest margin in the corporate bank declined by approximately 25 basis points due to lower lending income and a higher cost of liquidity reserves. However, net interest income on the corporate deposit books remained stable over the quarter. Net interest margin in the private bank remained broadly stable in the third quarter. Overall, our deposit betas continue to outperform our models. At the group level, NIM is down 12 basis points, of which approximately 5 basis points relates to an accounting impact in C&O, similar to the first quarter, and the balance relates to the NIM reduction in the corporate bank. With that, let's turn to adjusted costs on slide 10. Adjusted costs excluding bank levies were 4.96 billion euros, in line with the prior quarter and up 2% year-on-year. The increase is driven by inflationary pressures, ongoing investments in controls, and business growth, which were partially offset by active cost management measures. All cost categories, except for other costs, were broadly flat to the prior year quarter. The variance in other non-compensation costs includes the non-recurrence of benefits in the prior year quarter, which related to deposit protection cost, as well as movements in operational taxes. In addition, we see a normalization of marketing spend, and we continue to invest into talent. Let's now turn to provision for credit losses on slide 11. Provision for credit losses in the third quarter was 245 million euros, equivalent to 20 basis points of average loans. The decline compared to the previous quarter reflected a reversal of approximately 100 million euros of stage 1 and 2 provisions driven by model changes and improved macroeconomic forecasts, mainly impacting the investment bank and corporate bank. Stage 3 provisions of 346 million euros were broadly in line with the previous quarter. Provisions this quarter were driven by the private bank and investment bank, while the corporate bank benefited from a lower level of impairments. For the full year, we continue to expect provisions to land at the upper end of our guidance range of 25 to 30 basis points of average loans. Before we move to performance in our businesses, let me turn to capital on the next two slides, starting with slide 12. Our third quarter Common Equity Tier 1 ratio came in at 13.9%, a 19 basis point increase compared to the previous quarter. Regulatory changes, principally from the go-live of now-approved wholesale and retail models, resulted in a decline of 38 basis points, slightly below the low end of our previous guidance. Optimization initiatives generated 27 basis points from lower credit risk RWA, principally reflecting improvements in our data and certain process changes. Further 19 basis points of ratio support came from diligent risk management in our businesses. Finally, 11 basis point increase came from strong organic capital generation, that is, net income offset by deductions for the share buyback, dividends, and AT1 coupons. Building on Christian's earlier comments, let me give updated guidance on our capital outlook on slide 13. As mentioned, regulatory changes led to a reduction of 38 basis points in our Common Equity Tier 1 ratio. With the go-live of the now-approved wholesale and retail models, the ECB has completed the review of approximately 85% of the relevant portfolio, and we expect only a limited ratio impact from the remainder. Next, we announced in the first quarter of this year a targeted 15 to 20 billion euro RWA reduction by the end of 2025 through several capital optimization initiatives. We accelerated some of the anticipated data and process optimization initiatives into the third quarter, which brings the cumulative RWA reductions to 10 billion euros to date. The work we have done over the past several months gives us the confidence to increase the original target by 10 billion euros to 25 to 30 billion euros. Lastly, let me touch on our Basel III estimates. The latest review of our impact assessments indicates an RWA increase of only around 15 billion euros compared to the 25 to 30 billion euros we have previously guided. The majority of the improvement comes from our market risk and credit valuation adjustment, FRTB program, the impact estimates for which matured significantly. Credit risk estimates are still under review and remain dependent on the final CRR3 legislative text. Overall, let me highlight that current estimates are based on our interpretation of current draft regulation and therefore remain subject to change. Cumulatively, these changes in our outlook are significant and support Christian's earlier statements relating to our enhanced ability to execute our strategy and improve our return profile. Let's now turn to performance in our businesses, starting with the Corporate Bank on slide 15. Corporate Bank revenues in the third quarter were 1.9 billion euros, 21% higher year on year, driven by an improved interest rate environment and pricing discipline, with double-digit growth across all client segments. Sequentially, revenues decreased slightly due to lower net interest income from lending and a higher cost of liquidity reserves. However, pricing discipline on our deposit businesses remained exceptionally strong, with limited pass-through and higher business volumes, resulting in strong deposit income. We continue to anticipate a normalization of our deposit revenues over the coming quarters, which we expect to be partially offset by growing non-interest rate sensitive revenue streams, including commission and fees. Loan volume in the Corporate Bank was 117 billion euros, down by 12 billion euros compared to the prior year quarter, but 1 billion euros higher compared to the low point in the prior quarter. Deposits were 286 billion euros, 15 billion euros higher than in the second quarter, with growth in both overnight and term balances in euro and US dollar, and essentially flat compared to the prior year quarter, despite the market events in March. Provision for credit losses was 11 million euros, or 4 basis points of average loans. The decrease compared to the prior quarter reflects a lower number of impairments in the third quarter and further benefits from stage 3 recoveries, as well as model changes impacting stages 1 and 2 performing loans. Non-interest expenses were 1.1 billion euros, a decrease of 2% year on year, driven by FX movements. Sequentially, expenses decreased by 7%, predominantly driven by the non-repetition of litigation charges. Profit before tax was 805 million euros in the quarter, doubling year on year and driving the post-tax return on tangible equity to 18.3%, with the cost-income ratio at 57%. I'll now turn to the Investment Bank on slide 16. Revenues for the third quarter were essentially a flat, excluding the impact of DVA, and 4% lower year on year on a reported basis. Fixed sales and trading decreased by 12% against what was a strong prior year quarter. Rates, foreign exchange, and emerging markets revenues were all lower compared to a very strong prior year quarter and reflected a less volatile market environment. Financing revenues remained strong on an absolute basis, though down year-on-year due to the non-repeat of a material episodic item in the prior year quarter. Credit trading revenues were significantly higher, driven by ongoing improvements in the flow business and continued strong performance in distressed. Moving to origination and advisory, revenues were up over threefold, materially driven by the non-recurrence of leveraged lending markdowns in the prior year. However, excluding these markdowns, origination and advisory performance was still significantly higher and outperformed the industry fee pool. Debt origination revenues were significantly higher, benefiting from the non-repeat of the aforementioned markdowns and improved LDCM performance, which saw a partial recovery in both the industry fee pool and our market share versus the prior year. Advisory revenues were significantly lower, reflecting a decline in the industry fee pool. However, as previously stated, with signs that deal activity is starting to recover, we expect our investments in origination and advisory to result in a significant improvement in performance into 2024. Non-interest expenses and adjusted costs were both essentially flat year on year. Risk-weighted assets were broadly stable year on year. Leverage decreased year on year, driven by the impact of foreign exchange movements. Provision for credit losses was 63 million euros, or 25 basis points of average loans. The decrease versus the prior year was primarily driven by model changes affecting Stage 1 and 2 performing loans, partially offsetting Stage 3 impairments from commercial real estate. Turning to the private bank on slide 17, revenues were up 3% year-on-year, or 9% if adjusted for specific items in the prior year period, which related to Sal Oppenheim workout activities. Net interest income was essentially flat quarter-on-quarter, and higher deposit revenues in the third quarter were mainly offset by higher mortgage hedging costs following the Postbank transition, which were held centrally before. In the Private Bank Germany, revenues increased by 16% due to higher deposit revenues. A decline in fee income mainly reflected changes in contractual conditions impacting insurance products. Reported revenues in the International Private Bank were down 13%, or up 2% year-on-year, if adjusted for the non-recurrence of both specific revenue items in the prior year quarter and revenues from the divested financial advisory business in Italy, as well as FX impacts. Growth was driven by deposit products in Europe, which were in part offset by continued client deleveraging in Asia. Revenues in wealth management and Bank for Entrepreneurs declined by 21%, or 3% if adjusted for the aforementioned effects. Revenues in premium banking increased by 14%, supported by higher interest rates. Turning to costs, the increase of non-interest expenses mainly reflects continued higher internal service cost allocations, including investments in controls, as well as restructuring provisions and severance related to strategy execution. The prior year period included a benefit from deposit protection costs. Provision for credit losses was 174 million euros, or 27 basis points of average loans in the quarter, and included an impact of approximately 25 million euros, driven by the temporary operational backlog at Postbank. Overall, credit quality remained stable across our portfolios. The private bank attracted net inflows of 9 billion euros in the quarter, with 6 billion euros in AUM deposits and 3 billion euros in investment products. Let me continue with asset management on slide 18. My usual reminder, the asset management segment includes certain items that are not part of the DWS standalone financials. Assets under management remained stable at 860 billion euros in the quarter, supported by net inflows and positive FX effects, largely offset by 13 billion euros of market depreciation. Net inflows were primarily in passive, continuing the momentum in our Xtrackers products we've seen throughout the year. As you will have seen in their results, DWS saw a decline in revenues compared to the prior year. However, with slightly lower non-interest expenses, profit before tax was essentially flat. This development principally reflected a 6% decline in management fees to 589 million euros due to prior year declines in assets under management, driven by net outflows excluding cash and market developments in 2022, as well as FX movements. Performance fees declined by 19 million euros. Other revenues declined due to lower mark-to-market valuations of co-investments, partly offset by favorable outcome of deferred compensation hedges. Non-interest expenses and adjusted costs were both 8% lower than the prior year. Compensation costs were lower, driven by a significant decline in carried interest expense, partially due to lower performance fees in the period. Non-compensation costs were also lower, reflecting effective cost reductions across almost all cost categories. Profit before tax of 109 million euros in the quarter was down 18% compared to the prior year, reflecting revenue performance. The cost-income ratio for the quarter was 75%, and return on tangible equity was 13%. Moving to Corporate and Other on slide 19. Corporate and Other reported a pre-tax loss of 195 million euros this quarter versus a pre-tax loss of 28 million euros in the third quarter of 2022. This year-on-year change was driven in part by valuation and timing differences, which were positive 158 million euros in this quarter versus 199 million euros in the prior year quarter. The V&T result in this quarter was driven in particular by the reversal of prior period losses. Expenses associated with shareholder activities were 170 million euros in the quarter, compared to 144 million euros in the prior year quarter. The pre-tax loss associated with legacy portfolios was negative 137 million euros, driven primarily by litigation charges. Turning to the group outlook for the full year on slide 20. We remain focused on delivering positive operating leverage as we drive our revenue growth initiatives and execute our cost reduction measures. We now expect full year 2023 revenues to be around 29 billion euros. Our non-interest expenses will be slightly higher, reflecting a series of non-operating items. However, we expect our adjusted costs to remain essentially flat, in line with our guidance. Provision for credit losses is expected at the upper end of the 25-30 basis points range of average loans for the full year. Thinking ahead, our fourth quarter earnings are expected to be impacted by a number of one-off items, both positive and negative, including an accounting impairment of the goodwill from the Numis acquisition, a potential restitution payment from a national resolution fund, further restructuring and severance, as well as year-end tax adjustments. Finally, as both Christian and I have mentioned earlier, our capital outlook is substantially improved by further RWA reductions we have identified, and we plan to engage with supervisors on the scope for further additional distributions to shareholders. With that, let me hand back to Silke, and we look forward to your questions.